You're listening to Ricky and Jimmy on Relationships, the show where we uncover the thoughts and behaviors that are sabotaging your relationship and what you can do about it. Jimmy and I are passionate about sharing the ways that imperfect partners like you and I can shift unhealthy relational dynamics and create closeness. So welcome. Drop your defenses and open your heart, eyes, and ears. Let's learn how to be the best partner we can be together.
Welcome back, everybody. This is a bonus episode. This is like an emergency meeting between Jimmy and I, because this morning Jimmy got a message from one of his followers. Her complaint was, Jimmy, you have so many wonderful videos. She did say that. I remember that. She's a fan, but she's bringing up the issue that the person in your videos, whether it's you or your wigged alter ego, Jimily, when they bring up an issue and they say it in such a way as, like, I feel disrespected when you... Now, the user was upset because she said, according to the principles of nonviolent communication, disrespected is not a feeling. Jimmy immediately forwarded me the message and told me that he was upset. And I was upset because I am a huge, huge fan of nonviolent communication. And that's not to say that, Jimmy, you're not also a fan of nonviolent communication, but we knew we had to have an emergency debate on this issue immediately. So here we are, guys. This is unscripted, unplanned, unprepared for. Here's your interruption warning now. If my interrupting or Jimmy's interrupting triggers you, this is not the episode for you. If you're okay with it, listen on. We're about to debate this out. We thought it would make great fodder for a quick, short emergency episode.
I love that. We really did. I mean, we don't normally film at this time. Not that anyone understands. Not that I would expect. But I was like, Ricky, is there any way that we can just pop on? Because, you know, I put all the kids on their tablets. And my wife went for a walk, which was just poor timing. But I wasn't going to make her stay and watch the kids while I do this. So there's going to be just massive interruptions. But
yes,
editing Jimmy, we'll worry about that later. That's not, you know.
Maybe we'll put out an unedited one. They can handle
it. Exactly.
Because this is a fiery, impassioned debate.
All right. So to anyone who's wondering what we're debating, if they're like, wait, I just don't understand. We're debating the fact, and I'm sure it won't be a debate because we'll both agree on so
eventually.
Much, but sometimes we do disagree. And I'm like, Ricky, if we're going to disagree on something, we better do it on the podcast because, you know, so the point is, the viewer said, hey, I don't think it's appropriate when you say, if you're doing a character or if you're talking about something, if you're giving an example and you say, hey, that made me feel disrespected, or I felt disrespected when you did X. She's like, I don't think that's appropriate because of Marshall Rosenberg's principles where I'm essentially now putting words into his mouth and I don't want to do that. But when I read the book, there were a lot of things I liked. There were some things I just didn't like. And one of the things that I felt I got a sense of was, correct me if I'm wrong, he kind of had this principle, and he's not the only one. Let's just talk about, there's a lot of people that have this principle, even if it's not accurate for this book, where they kind of have the idea of like, you can't make someone feel anything, or someone can't make you feel something. So
that's,
you kind of have to take...
I'll have to stop you right there because that's not the reason that Marshall Rosenberg doesn't want someone to say, I feel disrespected.
True. Okay. True. The debate... Yes, good. Good. That was a good clarification.
Because I agree that you cannot.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no with the right.
Yes and no. Exactly.
Our actions
exactly. Yeah.
Affect people. That's true. But the whole point of nonviolent communication is finding a skillful way to express the way that we feel that doesn't trigger the other person.
I love that. So I kind of want to debate. I kind of want to debate both because that is something I hear people say. It's like, well, we need to take responsibility for our own feelings. No one can make you feel something. People do say that. I'm not saying Rosenberg said that. I remember reading his book and I felt a sense of that, but that's not the point of the issue. The point is disrespected a feeling? Are you allowed to come to your partner and say, I felt disrespected? I guess Rosenberg would say that is not the best way to do something. Or he would
That's
even
exactly
say
what he would
that
say.
Is not a feeling that you should express or that you're like, I don't know what, I don't want to say that you're allowed to have. That seems a bit rude. Like,
oh,
I don't
no.
know if you would take
He's,
that far,
he,
but
you can, yeah, I mean, the late great Marshall
would say,
Rosenberg.
He is that a feeling that you're allowed to have? If my wife says something to me and I come to her and I say, hey, when you said that, it made me feel disrespected. Am I wrong?
Right. So Marshall Rosenberg would definitely say that feelings are very personal things. We get to decide how anything makes us feel. Nobody can disagree with the way that we're feeling.
But he doesn't put it on the feelings wheel, correct?
He doesn't put it on the feelings wheel. And here's, meaning and it's here's not a feeling. Why. Meaning it's not a feeling for him. So, so the best thing, and I wanted to do, when I was imagining this emergency episode with you, Jimmy, too, I wanted to do an experiment that I thought might help you understand where he's coming from with this, right?
Let's do it.
So let's pretend that you and I are in a relationship and I come to you and I say, Jimmy, and I say it in the kindest, this is a calm time. Nobody's upset, right? And I come to you and say, Jimmy, I felt very disrespected by the way that you handled dinner tonight. Okay, so without you even responding, just take a note of how that sentence made you feel, right? And now we're going to do it the Marshall Rosenberg nonviolent communication way. Rewind. And I come to you and I say, Jimmy, I feel overwhelmed. Dinner was too much for me to handle alone tonight. I was wondering if there's any way that you could help me out next time so that this doesn't happen again. Yeah. Because overwhelmed is better. Because it doesn't assume that you were trying to disrespect me. That's all. That's Marshall Rosenberg's whole gig is that say something that we think is a feeling, I feel ignored. I feel disrespected. What I'm doing is I'm assuming that I know what you're trying to do. And that doesn't work. And
Hold on. Hold on. I want to interrupt you. Okay. You're telling me that if I said, Ricky, you haven't answered my calls to film a podcast. You've ignored my texts.
Okay.
You've I'm just letting you know that I've felt pretty ignored. I'm sure you're busy. I'm sure you have a lot of things going on, but I've just felt ignored by you over the past couple of weeks. You're telling me that according to Rosenberg, that's not okay because I'm assuming intent on your part. Yes. I'm assuming that you meant to ignore me.
100%, because in that exact scenario, I could say, let me think, oh my God, first, when you say that, I'm already on the defensive. I can feel my wall coming up because I'm saying, not a wall necessarily, but my immediate thought is I have to defend myself against Jimmy's perception that I'm an ignorer, because I'm not. I had the flu, Jimmy. I was bedridden for a week, right? Or perhaps there was something uncomfortable that I was afraid to tell you and I was ignoring you. So now it's a huge thing that we have to discuss. So what do you think would be the Marshall Rosenberg way for you to express yourself? Is that what you struggle with? Not knowing a better way to say that? Because I feel ignored.
No, I just completely disagree with the premise.
I think
ignored is on the feelings wheel. Therefore, I'm allowed to feel ignored. You want to know my premise? You know my premise? This is putting in my personal perspective, not saying you're wrong. I'm saying my personal perspective is this is placing way too much. I understand the principle of we need to do our best to set up an atmosphere and an environment where our partner feels like this is a good faith disagreement, or this is a good faith, like I'm assuming the best intentions for you. It's not good to just come at your partner with assumptions. It's not good to come at your partner with criticisms. It's not good to come to your partner with false narratives that I've created. If I think that you're a selfish person, I will look for ways to confirm that theory.
Totally.
And then I will find, they'll be this is why you're so selfish. But I totally disagree with the idea that I'm not allowed to feel ignored because it wasn't your intention to ignore me. That has literally nothing to do with it. I'm allowed to feel now, maybe there's a different word. Maybe in his mind, there's a different word, but I put ignored on the feelings wheel because here's my only point. In all the other research that I feel like I've read, I'm not pointing the finger at you. I'm not saying you were ignoring me. That's a difference. That's a big difference. You ignored me, Ricky. You ignored me. I'm pointing my finger. If anyone that can't see, I'm pointing my finger at the screen. That is wrong. I would say, hey, that's not an appropriate way. There's a better way to do it. You can say, I felt ignored when this is the scenario. These are the facts of the case. Ricky, I texted you 4 times in the last 2 weeks and I called you once. You didn't respond to any of those. I felt ignored because of that. That I feel like that's perfectly reasonable. I didn't say you ignored me. I said, just, I'm just letting you know. I feel now here's why that's important. And I promise I'll shut up because I want to hear what you're saying. I don't want you to lose your train of thought. The reason that is important is because we are in a partnership here. Ricky and I are in a friendship. Mm-hmm. And the way that we operate this friendship, I'm not putting words into her mouth, but Ricky, I bet you would agree if I felt, regardless of whether you agree, let's just put ignored on the feelings wheel for right now. Okay. If I felt ignored, that matters to you.
It does.
Plain and simple. And the same for you. So correct. I would want you to bring that up. Now, if you're in a partnership where you want your partner to actually express how they're feeling, now the way we do that still matters. But if they take ownership for that, hey, listen, these are the facts. This is my reality of the situation. And I felt disrespected when you rolled your eyes at me earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm not assuming that you meant to disrespect me. I'm just letting you know how I feel. And I know, because we both care about each other mutually, that you would want to know that. And that's all that I'm saying.
Right. I think you said that well. I also agree.
And no.
Yeah. No, I do. I think you said that well. I think the problem is that most couples are not able to receive comments like that without flying off the chain. And I know that sounds like I have very low confidence in most couples, but I think back to myself and my partner at the beginning of our relationship when we'd done far less communicating and trust building. And if he came to me, even in the sweetest tone, and said, "I feel disrespected," I would be too busy defending myself to listen to him. So I think maybe for an advanced couple, and I would consider you advanced at this, Jimmy. I think for an advanced
I do get a little bit too ahead of myself where I have to think about what the average couple, and we are the average couple, don't get me wrong, like together.
Well,
sometimes I'm reading a few more books than the average person. I'm trying to keep up with
and myself too. So that's it. Yeah. Not to disrespect our partners at all. Emily and Chris are saints to put up with this, with you and I, honestly, they really are. But
100%.
The fact that you and I are tens and tens and tens of books deep into this, we can hear somebody say, "I feel ignored." And it doesn't immediately make us go, "Whoa, they think I'm the bad guy. I have to defend myself." But I think the average person does not do that. And that's one of the reasons that nonviolent communication is my conflict Bible. Because for the average person, if you come to your partner or somebody that you're just dating, heaven forbid, and you say, "I feel disrespected," that's a fight. That's a fight because we don't have trust.
I would push back. I would only push back on that just based off the fact that I don't like that. I don't like that because it puts too much. We're doing all this work to like make sure that we don't assume malintent on the partner. And yet I can't even say to them in a calm way, vulnerable way, like, "Hey, when you did that, I felt disrespected." And now they're going to blow up. That's what we're going to go with. Like, we're putting all this, like, we're literally stepping on, we're walking on eggshells, but we're going to convince ourselves that if we changed just the little word, I felt disrespected when you did that, and they're going to blow up, versus, "Hey, I felt overwhelmed when you did that." And they're going to go, "Tell me more. I'm curious about your feelings."
Maybe this is it. a solid foundation has to be laid first, you know?
100%.
That's the thing. If you don't have a solid foundation where you know you can come to somebody and say anything, like Chris and I can come to each other and we can say anything. He can come to me now and use violent communication, which sounds awful to the casual viewer. But if he comes to me now and he says, "I felt disrespected," I can handle it because we have a solid foundation. But without a solid foundation, words
matter. Wait, you haven't
told
him that that's not actually on the feelings wheel? Because that's what you should lead with. Sorry, Chris, but disrespect is not on the feelings wheel.
I know. I had that thought. And Jimmy, in our friendship, if you feel ignored, I want to hear that. But the Ricky 5 years ago who hadn't done all this reading, the Ricky 6, 7 years ago who'd never heard of any of this stuff, if my friend came to me and they said that I feel ignored, one, I would feel like a piece of crap. Like, I know sure. we try to keep the language clean on here, but really, like, that's tough because yeah. violent communication, as Marshall Rosenberg dubs it, makes people feel shame. And if Absolutely. I feel shame or the need to defend myself against an image that you are saying, yes. like as of me as a disrespecter or an ignorer, one, I can't hear you. And two, I'm so deeply swimming in my shame now that I can't have a great conversation with you.
100%. Can I push back on that real
yes,
quick?
Yes, please
because
do.
Because there's a bunch of viewers, and I've experienced this myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just adding to what you're saying because I know you would agree with this. There's a lot of people, especially if they lean avoidant, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people that, especially during conflict, it doesn't matter how you word it. They are going to experience shame because the moment you say, hey, something's off in our relationship, at least this is what they're picking up on. They yeah. almost don't even hear your words. Just you yeah. saying, hey, so when this happened, this is how I'm feeling. All they're hearing is, uh-oh, something's off in this suck. Relationship and it's my fault. Right. Yeah, 100%.
Right.
It's my fault. The shame spiral has already started. And it yeah. doesn't even matter how you word it. Now, some people are in that relationship and that's what they're saying right now. They're saying, are you yeah. kidding me? There isn't a way that I can say it to where they're not going to respond with, oh, I guess I'm just a big failure. Oh, I can't do anything totally. Right. And you're like, bro, all I said was, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Can you help me in this area? So
yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Okay. Can I quickly ask you to name some other, cause I'm just interested at this point. Can you name some other things instead of, or what are examples of things that we should, I have them on the feelings wheel, but what is your feelings wheel? Are we taking ignored off? We're taking disrespected off. What else are we taking off?
Yes. This is specifically from Marshall Rosenberg's Nonviolent Communication book. I guess it's page 43.
I want everyone to balk at this.
Okay. So these are not feelings. Oh, they're going to hate this so much. But here's
yeah, they are.
Why,
I'm going to hate it.
And
I can't
before
wait.
Before I say it, before I talk about it, here's why these are not feelings. These are not feelings because every single one of these are me assuming that I know what the other person was trying to do.
But isn't that everything? Okay, forgotten. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Not
I'm just
because if I feel overwhelmed, that does not assume.
That means you were overwhelming me.
If I feel alone, okay, a feeling speaks about my state in such a way that nobody would be able to debate it.
Can I ever feel disrespected? What would be a reason? I mean, I'm just saying, like, how would I ever feel disrespected then?
Let me think of.
Okay, I'm sorry. I caught you off guard. Just here, hit me with the other.
I think that's a really valid question to ask. Or let's go back to ignored, right?
Sure.
I think it's just that there are better words for it. Because if 100%. You feel ignored,
I agree with that.
I can say I wasn't ignoring you. I was on my deathbed.
Which people have heard.
But if you said I feel invisible, I can't argue with that. Right.
Right.
See how the difference there?
Yes.
And
yes.
If you
and that's
came
a
to
very
me and
important.
Said, it's yes. a huge difference because if Jimmy called me and he said, mm-hmm. "Ricky, I feel invisible," my heart is moved by a statement like that.
Now people will say, "Yeah, I told that. I said that." And then they said, "Your feelings aren't my problem."
That's a counseling situation, though.
100%. 100%. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just reiterating that sometimes it doesn't matter what words you say.
Sometimes it doesn't. Right.
But I want to hear some other things that are on just for debate.
Okay.
Just for debate.
And I think to help this too, it would be better if I phrase them to you so that you can see if any walls come up or if any feelings
Am
that
I getting
you need
too
to
heated?
Defend
you
yourself.
I feel like you're calming down because I'm getting too heated. I'm sorry if I was.
Oh, maybe. I mean, heated's good. We knew this was going to happen. So Jimmy, I feel bullied. Like, please tell me that your heart when you hear that is like, God, I'm not
bullying you.
Right.
For sure.
Jimmy, I feel manipulated. You're like, whoa, right? Like, what are these statements bringing up? I feel used. I feel victimized. I feel violated. Like, the reason he calls it violent communication is because those words bring up feelings in you that don't move us toward closeness and connection. It poises us as battlers who are on each of our own sides, needing to prove why we're okay and why we're not breaking this relationship down. You know, I feel insulted. I feel neglected. Okay, this is a huge list, and it's in his book. But for every single one of these, and my heart goes out to the person who's feeling all those things. For every single one of those, there are better nonviolent words that we can use. And to find those, instead of putting our focus on what we assume the other person was doing or what we think the other person was trying to make us feel, we go deep within ourselves, and it helps for me to imagine myself as a child. That's how I try to find my actual feelings. I get out of my adult brain and I try to imagine myself as a tiny child. And when you aren't taking my calls, I feel invisible. I feel afraid that our friendship is in jeopardy. I feel overwhelmed because I want to do a great job at dinner and I can't do it alone. I mean, there are better ways to word things. I was an English major the first time around in my young life. And one of the most important things that I learned in all the beautiful books that they had us read and all the ways that they taught us how to communicate with people. And my minor was communication. So that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. I love this thing too. The words that we throw at people are incredibly powerful. And you are 100% right that some people aren't ready to receive those at all. But that's a counseling situation, you know? That's not a situation that we should try to wordsmith our way out of. That's a situation where we bring a third person in.
Yeah. And you know that that's necessary when you are trying to do all these things. You're trying to take responsibility for your feelings. You're trying to see their, you're trying to see their perspective. You're assuming good intent, but you're expressing how you feel and hoping that they can receive that and move in your direction. And instead they turn, what's the Gottman phrase? Instead of turning towards, they turn against
turn
or away.
Against.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Turn against.
Turn against you. Me, or turning away. Against would be, your feelings aren't my problem.
Or and
just
turning
completely
away,
invalidating.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
And
that's when you know.
And turning away would be, I'm too busy to talk about this right now. Something like that.
Yeah. And then never coming back to revisit that. So here's something that Rosenberg does really well that you'll agree with. Mm-hmm. He says, like, any judgment, any criticism, any blame, any insult or diagnosis only leads to disconnection. Essentially, you don't want to get to the point where you're saying, I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
And that's essentially what you're describing when you're saying, like, I feel disrespected. There's a better way to say that, because you're essentially, from his point of view, you're insulting them or you're casting a judgment against them. I don't agree with that 100%, but I understand his perspective. I loved your list, even though it did put up some, I mean, it did make me feel like
maybe
I can't even say I feel, I can't, yeah, defensiveness. Like I can't say I feel neglected. It's just sad. It's just a sad.
Like we said earlier in the episode, in my relationship and you in your relationship, we're allowed to say whatever we want now because we have that foundation of trust. I want Chris to come to me and throw all kinds of feelings at me that Marshall Rosenberg would say, that's not a feeling. I'm okay with that because I have a solid foundation and feeling that Chris and I are on the same team. But until that solid foundation is built, if you're still having arguments where people are blowing up or massive misunderstandings, it might behoove you to learn about the principle of nonviolent communication so that you can have you can't have a gentle startup with violent communication unless you're really, really advanced in this stuff. Like somebody like Jimmy and I who read this stuff constantly, right?
Well, let's remember that even the Gottmans, who coined the gentle startup, they, I don't know if they necessarily agree with Rosenberg. I bet they put, I bet they still put neglected and ignored and feeling. And I bet those are still on their feelings wheel.
Oh, is that the feeling wheel you pulled up? Is that a Gottman thing?
No, but I'm just saying like, that'd be something that we should do some research on. Do you want to take like a bet just for us? Like, do the Gottmans consider neglected to be a harsh startup? If you said, hey, when this happened, I feel neglected. Not you neglected me. I'm pointing my finger at you, but I felt neglected. Would they say that that's okay?
Yeah.
Would they, or I should say a better
word.
Would they
say that's
kosher or not?
Right. The reason I don't want to make a bet is because I do think that in a situation where somebody is coming peacefully and saying, I feel neglected and I'd love for us to talk about that, I think that can be a gentle startup. Maybe our issue here is that Marshall Rosenberg is a little bit more extreme. It is an extreme form of peacefulness. Sure. In the same way that, what's the deal? Like Gandhi, right?
Yeah.
Gandhi is showing us an extreme form of peacefulness and, right? Like in Gandhi's mind, somebody could slap you and you have to just go, I will not fight with you, right? But for a lot of people, they'd say, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to accept abuse. And I do think that there's some merit to showing extreme ways of communicating, just for if for nothing other than the fact that it highlights for us that sometimes the words that we use that are intended to be peaceful don't have that effect.
Yeah. My only pushback is I think we can all agree that let's find the best way to communicate. But
okay. I like that.
Yeah.
No, you know why I love that so much, Jimmy? Because people aren't counselors, and people aren't going to have a handy little list of appropriate feelings to say. They're not.
Right.
They're not. And I think
until us
until we give them that list. No. I mean, when you're standing in that moment and you do feel disrespected, your brain isn't going, okay, let me access the best way to say this. Like in the moment when you need to communicate that, sometimes I feel disrespected is the only thing that you can think of to say. And that's a heck of a lot better than jerk.
You're
right?
A piece of crap. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So I'd agree with you on that.
100%.
I
was going to say was I don't like that he removed them from the feeling. I just don't like it. That's all. Oh. I'm allowed to not like it. Right.
Right. But I think the only thing that we're arguing about is the fact that I don't label those words feelings.
I love that we disagree on that.
Yeah.
It's only taken us 20 episodes to learn something that we actually disagree with.
We have a few things that we disagree on, but this,
do we?
you can't get upset at your followers who are on my side of that. Like this woman who sent you the
message. I wasn't upset with her.
Good, okay.
I was just upset with she mentioned that mm-hmm. I should stop saying an example. If I'm using an example of, hey, I feel disrespected, she said, don't use that anymore because that's not actually on the feelings wheel. That
I see.
That upset me because I'm like, bull crap, that is on the feelings wheel. Like you can say whatever you want. Like,
and I fact checked that. I looked it up. Disrespected is on the feelings wheel. But
that was my only point. That was my only, I was like, don't tell me to stop using things just because Rosenberg said it's not on the feelings wheel anymore. Anyone can come up with their own feelings wheel and say, hey, guess what, guys? This isn't on the feelings wheel anymore. Sorry.
Right.
And I'm like, sorry, but that's not the way the world works. So I liked his book. But I didn't like the tone of the message, which was like, hey, you should probably read this book because disrespected isn't actually on the feelings wheel. And I was just like, and so I politely said, I have read the book. That's it.
See.
Like I said what I said, I meant what I said, and I have read this book. So, thank you for your input.
So maybe kind of as a summary, you're saying that you feel like couples in conflict should be able to, they shouldn't have to pick from a very small list. They should just look inside themselves and whatever it is that they're feeling, there's not really any incorrect words because we should be able to talk about candidly about what it is that other people's actions bring up for us, right?
I would agree with part of that. I mean, I obviously don't agree that there's no words that are off the table. Of course there's words that are off the table.
Sure.
But I just don't put disrespected in that category, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
That's just my own personal belief. I think when we're teaching these people conflict skills, I think that this is like a way far down on the list. Like if we're teaching somebody, if they can come to that person and say, hey, so when you don't help me with the dishes and put away the dish and don't load the dishwasher and don't clean off the kitchen and you just like go to bed every single night, that really makes me feel neglected. Like I just, like you don't, like you don't care that you feel like your time is more valuable than mine. And we're going to take that and say, oh, no, 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 you did that wrong. Like, sorry, you did that wrong. Like, you know, what you should have said was like, you put too much intention on their thing. And now they're going to argue that this, I'm like, that's so far down the list. Like, we should really be teaching that person did a good thing. Like, especially for an amateur person that's resolving conflict. And now sure. It's up to this person to be like, oh, I didn't realize, like, I'm so sorry. It wasn't my intention to neglect you, but I can totally understand how you're right. I don't even think about the kitchen at all. And like, I can totally understand how you could feel completely neglected in that area. That's a healthy outcome. I wouldn't nitpick and say, ooh, you're not actually allowed to feel neglected. That's just my perspective.
Right. I see what you're saying. I don't have the faith in other people that you do. So in that way, for me, the thing that I love about nonviolent communication is it's less faith that I have to put in somebody else that they'll positively receive what I have to say. Like, I don't have enough faith.
True.
I don't want to have faith in my friends that they are at a point where they can hear all the very raw things that I'm, right? I don't want to call a friend and say, I feel ignored and hope that they're in a state to receive that well. And most of the folks who message me are in relationships where they're absolutely not safe to say whatever they want because the other person will blow up. Most of my followers are not in those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Let's focus in on those relationships really quickly, because this is my only mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. You just said something that's so important. Most of those people mm-hmm. don't even feel safe that they can bring up. Let's just say that person, male or female, mm-hmm. comes to their partner and they're like, okay, I told them that exact scenario with the dishes and the laundry and I felt neglected and my partner blew up. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to say, give me an odds, not a yes, not a yes or no. It's an odds. Okay. If that person actually said, instead of I felt neglected, I feel overwhelmed with the dishes and the laundry and the this and the that. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that in that relationship, that will be the thing that person is like, oh, I actually really care now. I really like before, if you would have said neglected, I would have blown up. But now I'm not going to blow up. I'm going to like listen and try to.
I'm really glad you used the word odds because I think that's the key there. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
The odds that someone is going to blow up when you say I feel neglected or disrespectful mm-hmm. is a heck of a lot higher than the odds
it is
of
higher.
Them yeah, being upset that. About you saying I feel overwhelmed. Now, is it 0 in 100? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Right, if you're dealing right. with the kind of person who already feels defensive, you don't have a solid foundation in healthy conflict, I think the right. odds are pretty high that both of those statements are going to do it. But the fact that nonviolent communication increases the odds, even just a hair, that yeah. makes me go, I'd rather do my best to learn about this form of communication.
For sure.
And for me personally,
I'm okay with that.
I've had a massive amount of success. I have a very defensive partner. I am a very defensive person. Both of us struggle with defensiveness in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And learning to throw those words out and say, mm-hmm. we're going to try to phrase this in a way that doesn't assume anything about the other person has helped us get to a point where now we can say whatever we want. We can be sloppy with our words now, which is right. so relieving. But in the beginning, when we were learning how to argue, we couldn't be sloppy. We had to be we had to run a very tight ship because we didn't know how to have conflict and we had to learn. So
interesting.
It's a tool. Yeah. It's a learning tool that hopefully you yeah. can disregard. Maybe like when you're learning to build a house, you have to mm-hmm. learn all the principles so that you can build mm-hmm. really good, solid, mm-hmm. solid houses. But mm-hmm. then when you're a master house builder, mm-hmm. you can get sloppy. Yeah. Then you can cut some, you can take shortcuts.
You know when to cut some corners. Yeah,
exactly. But our listeners, yeah. I feel like they don't know when and how to cut corners.
You can't
corners.
Cut any corners.
Right. And so I think the person who messaged you was saying, hey, Jimmy, it's a little dangerous to teach corner cutting behavior when they don't have the foundation. So I think that was yeah. hopefully her goal, but I agree with you in that ideally, and maybe even in the beginning, we might need to practice in a sloppy way. Like practicing yeah. in a sloppy way is still better than not doing it at all and yelling and calling someone a jerk.
Right.
How about that?
Okay, let's pivot real quick with the little time we have left. And I just want to talk about debunking that claim that people say where no one can make you feel something. Mm, like,
yeah,
you know, does that make sense? Because mm-hmm. I do get that sense from some people. It's usually men where they're like, I don't really need to validate her, or I don't need to validate my partner, because I mean, nobody can make you feel something. Your feelings are your responsibility. And like, I didn't make you feel that way. So,
right. What comes up, buddy,
when I say that?
You know, our buddy Stan Tatkin would have a fit if he heard somebody say that, because when you agree to be in a relationship with somebody, especially an intimate relationship, you are responsible for the fact that the way that you act in their environment and being the safe person for them does affect them. We do make
people. I love that.
We do. Our actions cause people to feel things. And because of that, we have responsibility.
That is true. And we do not want to get all the Franks out there are like, but. And I'm like, hold on, Frank. I've got you. At the same time, what Ricky said is completely true. And it's also true that we should not be blaming people for our feelings. You can't be the type of partner that comes to your partner and is always like, hey, so here's the problem. You made me feel overwhelmed. You made me feel overwhelmed. Right. We have to learn. And part of the nonviolent communication obviously helps with that, but all conflict resolution helps with that, where it's like I statements, you know, taking responsibility for your feelings, this is something that we rarely talk about. And I need to make a shorter video on this because this podcast don't get nearly as many views as the shorter videos, but how important is it for us to all be partners who don't just see through a negative filter and always imagine anyone coming to your partner and just consistently nitpicking or bringing up your negative feelings. Of course we want to be a safe place for each other to bring up feelings. Of course I want that for your relationship. However, remember the Gottman's ratio. Outside of a conflict situation, the ratio is 15 to 1. One negative to 15 positives.
Is it really? I thought it was 6 to 1. It's 15. I'm going to have to look that up.
It's 6 to 1. It's actually five to one. It's five to one. During conflict.
During conflict. But outside of it, it's what? It's
15 to one. Jumps to 15 to one. Yeah. Wow. So
that's
we
high.
Can't be constantly coming to our partner with our negative emotions. Are your negative emotions important to the relationship? I think so. Absolutely. Right. If Ricky came to me with a negative emotion, I would care. I would lead with curiosity. Right. I would want to understand and validate what her experience was. However, if she constantly came to me with her negative feelings, as in, Jimmy, this is how you messed up. This is what you caused me to feel this. You're doing this. That's overwhelming. That's called a negative partner. And
so in the comment section now, somebody's asking, well, what am I supposed to do? Just ignore all the bad things that they do? And to that, I would say, here's what we do to try to get closer to a 15 to 1 ratio of good experiences and comments with our partner to the one bad, is we need to be constantly cultivating an environment of fun and closeness and happiness and asking them about their feelings. And that's something that we have to be intentional about. If you're just tripping through life, hoping that things are going to go fine and then addressing issues as they pop up, you're not intentionally making good interactions happen. I don't think that 15 to 1 ratio is possible unless both people are working to make it a loving atmosphere for each other, right?
I couldn't agree more. And part of that is there will be a lot of people that say, well, that's not possible for my relationship. Mm-hmm. While we understand that, I've been in that relationship. I know what you're going through. We still need to recognize that means that something's off, and we need to be moving towards getting professional guidance. And because you can't just stay stuck in this dynamic where you're like, but the reason I have so much resentment, the reason I'm so negative is because they. Okay. Well, just like we said earlier, all these things, judgments, criticism, blame, insults, diagnoses. When we call our partner a narcissist, when we start to see them through that negative filter, where does he say that goes? Disconnection. That's what leads to. So Totally. I'm not saying that you're responsible for the disconnection that you're feeling. I'm just saying I care about the disconnection in your relationship and I don't want it to continue. So what's the solution? Blaming them, making sure they know what a crappy partner they are? Mm-hmm. No. Like that's not going to work either. So we need to find a professional to help us both navigate this dynamic.
Yeah. And professionals can also help us, can help facilitate closeness in a relationship too, which will get that ratio a little bit closer. It's got to feel better if it's closer to 15, if that's not absolutely possible. So to answer your question, about whether or not somebody can make us feel something too, I want to say we don't want to be the kind of person, the kind of partner that doesn't care about what our partner's feeling.
Like, oh yes.
That's super, super important.
When you get to that point, that's a red flag.
That's a red flag, which means you need to stop and go, whoa, something is wrong, very wrong in this situation that I need to address. Because when you stop caring about how your actions affect them, you guys need professional intervention or something to change that's massive.
For sure. Or this relationship is all but just going to drift apart. I mean, there's nowhere for us to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing that I was going to say real quick on people that say like, well, that person, my partner needs to take responsibility for their feelings. Nobody makes you feel something. Quit bothering me with all your feelings. What I would say to them on the subject of you can't make anyone feel something, which I agree with. We should take responsibility for our feelings. Nobody makes us feel something but at the same time, we heavily influence. You said it way better than I would. My point is, here's just a few examples. Like, have you ever been next to a crying child on an airplane?
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel some things?
Oh, heck yeah. You did. Yeah, yeah. Well,
would you say that baby caused you to feel those things? Because you don't believe in people causing you to feel things. Well, so does that make sense?
Like, sure. Yes.
There are environments that just logically and rationally lead us to feel things. Come over to my house. Spend a day being the primary caregiver for 4 children under 10. I bet you you're going to feel some things.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might say, well, nobody causes you to feel things. Watch. I'll give you one more. Have you ever worked for a bad boss?
Oh,
yes. Did you feel some things? Because nobody can make you feel things, right?
Yeah, totally. And just to bring that back into the relationship realm, I don't want to be the kind of partner that doesn't care when my partner feels things. Whether I think it's silly or not that they're feeling something, or whether they're completely misreading me, I don't want to be the kind of partner that doesn't care about their feelings. That's not what I aspire to. And I don't want that for myself either. Yeah. Jimmy, we made it.
So
I think we made it. I think we agree more than we disagree on this one.
You knew we would.
I knew we would. I wasn't worried.
I hope that everyone enjoyed it though. And I hope that there were some, I hope there was some debate within people too, where they were like, I'm totally on Ricky's side or I'm totally on Jimmy's side. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to cause division among us. I'm just saying.
No, there's no sides here. It's just, and maybe this is a great example of it's okay to have different opinions on stuff like this too. And Jimmy and I are still cool. Everything's fine, you guys.
Yeah. I'm not answering her texts for the next 2
right,
weeks.
Right. And I'm going to text you. I feel ignored and you'll see. No, it's fine. No, this was a good one. I hope people like it. I hope it was helpful. I hope you don't hate nonviolent communication if you are more on the side of that's too hard or too idealistic. It can do a lot of good for people. And also,
really
Jimmy, I'm going to feel a little bit less triggered when I see your next video says I feel disrespected. And hopefully the viewers will too.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a quick side note on that book. There really was way more positives than any sort of negatives. Like he does a great job at, he does a great job at going through, just the self-reflection of like owning our own feelings, like being in touch with ourselves more and just like really getting down to the root of what I'm feeling. Cause that's so important. Yeah. That's so important.
And you know what? Powerful too. It's powerful. Oh, yeah. You kind of take your power back when you stop trying to phrase things in a way that assumes what the other person's thinking. When instead I'm speaking only from my own experience,
nobody can
argue with that. And it's powerful. It also helps me, like, let's go back to the dinner scenario. If I can say I feel overwhelmed, then I'm more likely to go, whoa, I've placed myself in a setup with strategies that aren't working for me, whether or not that involves mm-hmm. other people or not. That puts the power firmly back in on my side of the court. What can I do personally to change how this happens? Because we feel so powerless mm-hmm. when we come to somebody and we say, 100%. I feel like you're disrespecting me. That's me waiting for them to change
something. And they go,
no,
I'm not.
Yeah, and that's hard. But if I can tell myself, if I can have the conversation with myself, I feel overwhelmed. Okay, I've put myself in an unsustainable situation here. What can I personally do? Maybe instead of taking on the entire dinner thing myself, I can go, I need a team for this, right? I love that's one of the things I love most about nonviolent communication. It made me feel less powerless and beholden to other people to try to change their behavior. That's not what I do anymore, which is great. Yes, other people's behavior affects me, but with the baby crying on the plane, man, that baby crying on the plane makes me enraged. What can mm-hmm. I, you know, like I feel anger about this. This mm-hmm. is so, what can I do personally? I can grab my AirPods or my earplugs that I brought with me on the plane, or next time I can bring earplugs in case this happens.
Right.
Something like that.
And just the last thing I'll say on it is because people will have a partner. So it triggers me a little bit when you say, and I don't mean this as a
no, I want to hear it. Yeah.
When you say like they can't argue with that, because I have been with people and I've had people in my life, they will argue whatever you say. Doesn't matter what word. Yeah. You could say, I feel really overwhelmed, and they would now tell you why you shouldn't feel overwhelmed. So I want to tell people what to do in that scenario, because you will encounter somebody, a boss, a coworker, a friend, hopefully not a partner, but you will encounter somebody who, when you're vulnerable, they will tell mm-hmm. you, even if you use the right words, they will tell you why you shouldn't feel that way. I want you to tell, especially if you use the way, everything that Ricky said so far, I want you to think about this. I need you to summon the courage. I don't know why I'm thinking of Haley Page McGee. If nobody follows her on Instagram, she's great. I want you to summon the courage to tell that person in a nice way, and only if it's safe. Mm-hmm. I am not... You can say, I'm not really looking for your feedback on this, or I'm just sharing my perspective
Fantastic.
Or experience, because they cannot argue with that. You want to reiterate, even if that's what you're doing, like I'm trying to take ownership of my feelings, I'm sharing my own experience, and then they still argue, which they might, well, you shouldn't feel overwhelmed. You say, well, hold on. I'm not looking for feedback. I'm just sharing my personal experience.
Perfection.
And they will rarely move forward with that and go, yeah, but your experience is wrong, because they know that sounds stupid. Like,
right. Well, they have to. And I've personally done that in my own relationship. I've had my partner tell me, well, you shouldn't feel that way. That's ridiculous.
Sure.
I think he said those exact words. And in the kindest voice mm-hmm. that I could possibly muster, I was like, babe, my feelings aren't up for debate. I was like, I feel the way I feel, and I'm sad that maybe is hard for you to know that I'm feeling in a negative way, but you can't tell me how to feel. And that's,
I love that. You get to a place where you can say that, that can still lead somewhere healthy. Look, Ricky, and I don't know if we say his name, but Ricky and
Chris,
her partner are,
you
say his name, right? Yeah.
You can say his name.
Ricky and her partner are in a healthier place. Her saying that did not cause disconnection. It actually leads to more connection when you say, my feelings aren't up for debate. I'm just sharing my experience.
Just sharing my experience with you.
Now, here's what you can do if you would like this to lead to connection and closeness. Here's what I would love from you is I would love for you to care about my experience. And this is what that looks like for me. But
And another helpful thing too, is I would say, I'm really curious how you're feeling about this situation.
Wow.
And that love also, that. He was like, oh, geez. Okay. So we can both talk about this. And I'm like, hey, there's no wrong words here too. You can say you feel disrespected. I'm that
I
safe of
those.
A place, babe.
Right.
And that's great. Get curious.
This was great.
This was great. I didn't think this was going to turn out as great as it did. I hope other people liked it as much as I did.
Okay. For anyone that's still here, I had to bait Ricky into this. I was like, Ricky, we'll record this because we hadn't had a conversation about this beforehand. She was like, let's talk about it, figure out what we're going to say. And I was like, no.
And he's
let's
like,
just
nope.
record.
Yep. Shooting
I was like,
from
let's just
hip.
Have, yeah, let's shoot from the hip, because we can always delete it later.
Right.
And if you like it, then we keep it. And
but
so
this
I guess
one made the cut.
It.
This made the cut, Jimmy. We did it. I'm so excited. And I do.
I felt a little bit bad for that though, because I didn't want you to feel like that. Well, I just felt, I don't like to be I don't know. I don't like to. I felt like I was dismissing you. You said, "Hey, let's jump on a call real quick and like figure out what we should say."
And you were
and
like, "No, now."
I was like, "I did not say it like that, Ricky." I said, "Ricky, how about we do
but
this?"
But I felt and like were, that's you how like, you said it. You were,
yeah.
Like, you're fine. No, this was great. I think our audience misses out on a lot of the off the cuff conversations that we have because they turn out being great. And the scripted ones aren't as much fun, you know?
And that's part of the problem. Sometimes I call Ricky. I'm like, Ricky, should we do a podcast episode on this? And we start talking about what that would sound like. And then we get 20 minutes in and we're like, this would have been a great episode.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we did it. Okay. Anyway.
Can you talk to Mama about that? Okay. Sorry.
You know what?
I would have showed my kid, but he just came in. He came in without pants on. So I can't, you know.
Yeah,
I'm like, you got to go find Mama. Mom, I think I saw Mom come back. So you got to take that one to Mom.
I would challenge you to, except for the part where you had to step away for a long time, minimal editing on this one. Yeah. I'm telling you, I think people would like it more than you think. Okay, Jimmy, go tend to your family. Right. Get on with your weekend. This was fun. We'll see you guys next time. All right.
Bye.